This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, here we are. From second bottom to a seventh place finish, and a 1 in 4 chance of promotion. Whatever happens next, it's been one hell of a journey.
Harris, back inside for Ollie Clark. Here's Quinn, back wide he goes, low ball.
Oh, man,
that's it! 3 for Van Bell! It's sheer joy for the fact. That is an excellent team goal.
A goal!
It's a great ball in towards the middle. Low pass
is
to Rhys Oakes. 1-on-1 with the keeper. Rhys Oakes takes it around and Rhys Oakes.
Yeah!
What a ball from Jason Law. Rhys Oakes around the keeper. Back of the net. 2-2. Game on!
Oakes makes a run at the near post. Barry in the middle. O'Toole's up there. He's got Barry!
Jordan Barry! Ross Wedgefield 3-1 up with a forceful header.
Barry with his back to goal. Does well to find McLaughlin. Low ball into the middle.
Locks down.
Get in!
It's 2! Mansfield Town lift the roof off the Wodcourt Stadium!
30 seconds now remaining. Here is Oakes on the edge of the box. Rhys Oakes turns,
yes,
shoots,
yes,
and
yes,
comes in it!
Yes!
Mansfield Town
has
scored! George Lansley!
Get in there!
And scores an all-important winning goal! Sturck coming forward on the edge of the box, looks to roll in for Aikens. Sturck still going forward, it's Ryan Sturck! It's 3 for Mansfield! It's Ryan Sturck who rolls in under the knee! The goalkeeper, Rory Watson! Just McLaughlin over this now, for Mansfield Town, up steps, Stephen McLaughlin!
Get in!
What a strike from the second one! McLaughlin looks to try and whip it in towards the middle, towards those! It might fall for Barry!
Yeah!
Yeah! Jordan Barry came from the tightest of angles and fires Mansfield back in front!
Kennedy, who puts the ball back in towards the middle, headed away by McLaughlin. And now Mansfield can come away because it's Rhys Oakes in possession through the centre circle. Rhys Oakes battling forward to the edge of the box. It's Rhys
Oakes!
Got a goal! It's Rhys Oakes! Magic.
There's been so many memorable moments this season, from holding back the tears on the opening day as we returned post-pandemic and stunning Sunderland for a second year running, to Rhys Oakes' phenomenal solo strike against Colchester and smashing records after records, especially on home turf. Now, we're holding out hope for more. One moment, one goal. One opportunity to keep going and keep our dreams alive. If we're honest, it's not all about achieving promotion at the end of this. That's just a bonus. It's about not wanting this emotional thriller to end just yet. What stands in our way is a double header against the Northampton Town side, who are still feeling stunned and extremely hard done by, missing out on automatic promotion on goals scored thanks to a massive dollop of injustice with just moments left of the season. Tonight, in our first playoff preview special, we'll reflect on the journey thus far and look ahead to a huge home game on Saturday night under the Wodcourt Stadium lights. Four previous playoff campaigns, none of which have ended in promotion, and only one of those has seen the Stags actually progress to a final, 2003-2004, against, you guessed it, Northampton Town. Can history repeat itself? Can someone step up and be a hero? This is the place to let all the nervous energy out and have your say on your team. We're here for every single step of the journey, win, lose, or draw, this is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Well, good evening and welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast. It's the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the playoffs preview show. Mansfield Town against Northampton over two legs. One of the two sides will book their place at Wembley for a chance to fight it out for a place in League One. After a rollercoaster season, can it be Mansfield Town who secure their space? Whatever happens, we'll just sit back and enjoy it as we have done all season. Joining me as ever to look ahead to what is another massive game for Mansfield Town. We've got two men who have been there and seen it all. Starting off with the man who used to sit in front of me at Wancourt Stadium until I decided I'd had enough of him and decided to move into a career in radio. Clive Parkin, good evening.
Hello, Craig. Good evening, everybody.
And the man who will be calling out the goal scorers, hopefully a lot, Alan Wilson. Nice to see you again.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Clive.
It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic week. No Nathan or Cam again today. Nathan is actually recovering from a small operation, nothing major, so we wish him all the best. He'll be lying in bed, probably watching Hollyoaks. No, that's Cam, isn't it? That's Cam, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. And Cam is solo parenting. How times change. So we wish Nathan all the best and Cam, turn Hollyoaks off. They'll hopefully be with us next week as we look ahead to the second leg. That will be on Monday night. We'll let you know the times on our social media pages. As always, we want you to get involved with the show and have your say on your team. How are you feeling? Can Mansfield do it? Anything that you want to say about Mansfield Town, drop it in the live feed in the comments and have your say on your team. I'll start with you, Alan. It's going to be another nervy Saturday evening under the Wancourt Stadium lights. Of all the years that I've been watching Stags, I can never remember them playing at 7:45 p.m. on a Saturday. It feels very, very weird, doesn't it?
I'm not sure whether they played, I'm not sure whether they played against Preston when we're doing the floodlights. We had some brand new floodlights and I'm sure that we were on telly then and it was fogged off, believe it or not. They had to abandon the game. I'm sure they did. It was something like that, but that's the only other thing I can remember, 7:45 on a Saturday.
It's a very strange kickoff time, Clive. It's going to throw all routines out of the window, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't like it much, but there you go. We have no say in the matter. I think it's to avoid the Women's FA Cup final, isn't it?
Yeah, it's to avoid some major TV event. And to be fair, I think for a lot of people out there, it's actually helpful because it makes you avoid Eurovision, Alan. So it's not too bad.
Yeah. Oh, devastated. Do we still go in that?
I don't know. No idea.
What's the point? De poir.
Absolutely. Well, let's hope that it's the Stags fans that are singing the loudest on Saturday evening. Clive, on Monday, we were together with Nathan for about 4 hours and we moved barely 50 yards or whatever it was in the queue to get tickets for both legs. There's an excitement building around the club, isn't there? I was on the Northampton's equivalent to this, although it's way, way better than this. It's All Cobblers to Me podcast, their preview show last night. That comes out tomorrow on their Patreon feed, I think. Recorded it last night with the guys there. They asked what word I'd use to describe our feelings ahead of this one. And I said hopeful. Can you beat that?
I'd just put the word cautiously in front of hopeful. I think we should be the team that feels the most relaxed because we finished seventh, they finished fourth, and therefore they're feeling a little bit damaged, I think, by circumstance. And historically, the team that creeps in at the bottom playoff position has a disproportionately high chance of getting through it. So I think they might be worried about that. Plus, we're a team to respect. On our day, we beat anybody, and we're playing at home where we beat most people. So I think we should be more confident than they are. But going back to the a week and a half in the queue, it was interesting. I mean, thankfully, it was nice weather, and we all had a good chat, and it was really like something I've never experienced before. But I'm glad we did it because we've ended up with the tickets and we'll meet some nice people in that queue as well.
Yeah, let's hope that it's not the last time that we're queuing up for tickets this season. Let's hope there's one more game to add on the back of that. Going back to words to describe how we're feeling ahead of Saturday night, Alan. I used hopeful. Clive used cautiously hopeful. What are you going to add to that?
Positive.
What, positive? What, positive, cautiously hopeful, or just no. Positive?
Positive. In brackets, positive.
That's a good word to describe it. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. How would you describe how you're feeling ahead of Saturday night? Roger's been in touch and says, good luck to the Stags on Saturday. I'm at work in Skegness, so can't get. Hopefully win by a couple of goals. Give us a great chance then. Keep your comments coming in. Get involved in the live stream tonight and have your say on your team. If there's any Port Vale fans or Swindon fans or indeed Northampton fans watching tonight, let us know how you're feeling ahead of the playoffs as well. Be interesting to hear your thoughts. Let's delve into how the two sides shape up then in terms of form. Clive made a good point earlier on about saying the team that's in seventh place stands more of a chance in terms of the way they push forward and the momentum they go into this. But this time around, it's a very, very strange situation because traditionally when you look at that setup of fourth versus seventh, fourth have usually fallen out of the automatic promotion places on the last day traditionally by losing or drawing, but Northampton did everything they could in their power to go up, so it's a bit of a different kettle of fish. They went into it in relatively strong form in the end.
They did, yeah, but fair play to Northampton for being there and doing as well as they did do. But so did Mansfield in their own way. Mansfield did really well, because we were third, we were fourth. We've been hovering around fourth, fifth, sixth for quite a while now. But it was just the two games that really let us down. But I'm glad we really, stuck to our guns and played as well as we did on Saturday, because I think we did deserve a playoff spot, albeit seventh.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree with that, Clive. I mean, we look at the season as a whole and how it unfolded for us. Had it not been for that 14-game spell, as we've said a number of times, it could well have been a different story, and refereeing decisions as well. But on balance, on reflection, a playoff finish, seventh-place finish is, I think, about right.
Yeah, over 46 games, you tend to get what you deserve at the end of it. And we really didn't deserve to cruise through because of the big hole we left ourselves in with those 14 games earlier in the season. But, momentum is a big thing, and the two teams that had the most momentum in the second half of this season, Bristol Rovers and Mansfield Town. Bristol Rovers just did enough, and with a freak set of circumstances, they've got into autos. But they would have been the momentum team going into the playoffs under most circumstances. And we've had to find momentum in the second half of the season. And we had enough momentum during that good run to allow us to lose a few matches or have a few results stolen from us in some cases and still be in with a shout. So all in all, I think where we are is where we deserve to be. I'm happy to be seventh. It doesn't matter where you are in that four as long as you're in it.
Yeah, I think Clive's got a good point there, Alan, isn't it? As long as you're in there in the end of the season, it gives you as good a chance as anyone else. What's your reflections on the campaign and where Mansfield finished?
Yeah, possibly. I could possibly agree with Clive. Yeah, if you're where you are, it's because of how you've played. Like I say, 46 games, and it is a long old season. And we didn't have a very good start, as we all know. We did well during, in the middle, coming up to the end. Lost us way a little bit at the end, but we did just enough to get there, where it matters. And I'm quite surprised that I'm feeling as confident as I am with the first leg at home. I've just got a real strong feeling, with being at home, that we'll do really well at home and, do enough away.
Yeah, let's talk about home advantage, because I asked Nigel Clough about this in the week. We'll hear that interview or a little bit of that interview later on in the show. And we'll hear from Ollie Hawkins as well as we continue to preview Saturday night's first leg. But on the subject of home advantage, I was a little bit disappointed for a while on Saturday last weekend against Forest Green that we didn't finish fourth or fifth to gain so-called home advantage, which is traditionally in the second leg. But all things considered, Clive, considering how Northampton finished, falling out of third place by virtue of somebody else putting seven in past a Scunthorpe side who were playing 8-year-olds in some controversial circumstances on goals on goals scored, that, you know, that gives them a little bit of a wobble mentally. And considering Mansfield's phenomenal home form, 13 wins out of the last 15, only one defeat in the last 15 games at home, second best home form in the division over the entirety of the season, home advantage plus the fact that they've got, you know, their goalkeeper suspended as well, home advantage is actually very much in Mansfield's favour in the first leg this time around.
Based on what you've just said, you'd think so. But I also think adversity breeds positivity, to want to borrow one of Alan's words. I think when you feel you're, everything's against you, it just garner a little bit of team spirit. So I don't think they'll be too put off by what's happened now. They'll have been angry for a day and then lick their wounds for a day and get on with the rest of their lives afterwards. And I think that if the manager's worth his salt, he will have got them fired up for the Saturday game at the Wancourt Stadium. I think we're in a good position as well. We've got no injuries apart from the long-term injury to Gordon. We've got a full squad to select from, which it can be a headache, but it's better than having nobody to select from. And we're at home in Fortress Field Mill. So I think it's and we've had a week's rest. So I think we've got all the conditions we could have asked for going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think another thing to think about there, though, Alan, is, like Clive says, you know, the manager will give them a pep talk and he'll try and get them going. And as much as he will say, you know, focus is on the next game and it's all done and gone with now, there's nothing, you know, no amount of words can stop mindset. For me, there will be some anger in there and some disappointment from the players, from the Northampton players. And I think if Mansfield start well, I think that could be the key to keeping Northampton on the ropes.
I'm going to say it could well go against them, Craig, if you think about it, you know, because if they're not calm and collected and playing the passing football, or you know, however they play normally, if they're still a bit aggressive and whatever, and it's the key is the first 10, 15 minutes, if Mansfield score in that time, you know, they've got to change whatever lookout they've got, you know, to whether they come, I don't think they would come and park the bus, so to speak, but they've got to really be, you know, try and get that goal back. I know it's two legs, and if they go 2-0 down, say, I know that they'll think they've got a good chance when they play at Sixfield Stadium, but that first 15 minutes, I think, will be crucial. If we can get a goal in there, we'll see a different Mansfield Town than what we normally do.
We have to get goals for me, Clive. We have to be on the front foot. We have to come out and attack on home soil, because away form, we'll talk more about this, you know, probably on Monday when we look ahead to the second leg, has not been as good as it should be. We've not been as clinical as we need to be. But for me, considering all the factors from a mentality perspective and everything in between, the fact it'll be a big crowd on home soil, there'll be a few nerves in the air, coming out and starting well, that first 15 minutes, as Alan says, Clive, will be absolutely key to the way the tie progresses.
Absolutely right. We need to come out firing on all cylinders, because it's the only way we can start the game as we mean to go on, by dominating. And I think we have to adopt the front foot against a team that can score goals and have proved to be able to claw out successes during the season. You have to respect this team. They're where they are for a reason. But I think we're also fired up by the memory of the appalling display we put on at Sixfields in the league game, because that was the low point, as far as I'm concerned, of our season. Not because we lost, was it 2-0 on the day?
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0. It wasn't the result, it was the attitude of what the perceived attitude of the team that day. We looked like we weren't bothered. That's the only time this season I can say that. So
that's it.
I think we've got something to prove. We've beat them already on our ground as well, don't forget that. So
they're going to face a different animal at the Sixfields, aren't they? Surely we can't play that bad again. I know we had few players out and whatever.
Hang on
but
a minute.
Well, if they do, we deserve not to go forward, don't we?
That's it. If we do play that badly, we don't deserve to go through. but they're going to face a different animal than what they faced before. That's a fact.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we compare the two games this season, you know, absolutely different there. I mean, I remember going there, you know, we really did have square pegs in round holes and we really did struggle from an attitude perspective. I think we're in a much, much better place now than where we were. But I think a lot of it is going to come down to, you know, how both sides perform on the day, how they cope with it. Because like Nigel Clough says, it is a different kettle of fish in terms of the how you prepare, how you do everything. You know, you're not looking at, well, we'll set up this way because we've got this game on Wednesday against a different opposition. It's the same opposition twice. You know, a 2-0 win doesn't guarantee you a win in the second leg. You know, there's a possibility of penalties to prepare for. If it's still a draw after 90 minutes in the second leg on aggregate, there's all of those different permutations as well. So it's a very, very interesting one too. Keep your comments coming in. Any questions that you want to pose to us or any comments that you've got, drop them in the live feed and have your say on your team, like Pedro's done, who says, well off, optimistic. Getting tickets yesterday was a nervy job. I'm going 4-1 on Saturday. Roy says the Stags are going to Wembley. Na 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 ooh, or whatever the tune is supposed to be. And Ellen says, would you start Barry or Aikens for the next couple of games? Now, again, this is what we were just coming to, you know, a couple of minutes ago in terms of setting up for both games. It's not about the next couple of games. I think it will be a very different selection for both legs based on how the first leg goes. We may be trailing. We've got to, we can't talk about Mansfield winning the first leg because there's two teams involved. We may not win the first leg. We may have to be doing the chasing in the second leg and therefore have to set up differently. So I'll change the question slightly from what Ellen's put. She's put, or they've put, would you start Barry or Aikens for the next couple of games? I'm going to change it to, would you start Barry or Aikens on Saturday? And I'm going to come to Clive first.
Barry.
Reasons?
He had a decent game the day. In fact, a lot of people thought he was man of the match. I didn't, but I thought he had a good game. And I think Aikens has a different sort of quality. I think he'd be the man if everything's thrown at us and we start to need to mop up some of the of their attacking prowess. But at the moment, I'm with everybody else on this. If we go out firing and put them on the back foot, we're better off with Barry, I think, adding some potential firepower alongside Oates.
Yeah. Alan, what's your views on it? Barry or Aikens?
Barry for me, because I think he does more in the game. He started slowly when he started on Saturday, I thought, but he progressed into the game. He wasn't my man of the match either, but he had a decent game. He scored the goal, which is obviously, you know, what we needed at that time especially. And I just think he helps out, although Aikens does put a shift in, I'll give him his due, but I think the control that Barry gives you is just that shade above Aikens, in my opinion, because he controls it better and he's got such a burst of pace when he wants it.
You know, listening back to the highlights when I was putting together the montage for the intro earlier today, it really does highlight, Alan, actually, that Bowery, he probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves because he's really scored some really important goals for us this season.
He has. I'm going to say, how many has he got now? It must be close to double figures. What's he on? About seven or eight?
Oh, where's my clipboard gone? Yeah, I'd tell you the answer, but
the other thing to remember, of course, we were in a rich vein of form running up to January, and Bowery was part of that success.
Yeah.
And then with the signings that we got in January, including Aikens, he was put on the bench, which was, you know, terribly unfair in some respects. And obviously that was one of the reasons, not the only reason. I think it's one of the reasons why some members of our supporters took umbrage against Aikens. He was a different sort of player, didn't appeal to them in the same essence that Bowery did. And it came on the back of a period of time when Bowery had earned his right to be in the squad, in the starting 11. So you're right, he's got a fistful of goals. He'd have had a lot more goals and he'd had more pitch time.
Yeah, I thought it was very hard done by, actually, in January, towards the end of January, when he was dropped and Aikens came in. I understood sort of why that happened, to try and to try and mix it up a little bit. But he was player of the month and a real, real key player for us. And to answer the question about Bowery or Akins, I like Akins as a player. I think he will be absolutely critical for us in the latter stages of the first leg and probably the second leg as well. But I would start Bowery. We'll go through our team selections later on in full as well, just sort of predicting how we'd like to see us line up, how we'd like to see us play as well. Because Thomas has asked the question, so please remind me to come back to that later on towards the back end of the show, because we'll talk about defences as well. Chris says Bowery all day long. Craig says it's written in the lines, drawing on aggregate Wednesday night. Up steps Lucas Akins, 90th minute screamer. Other people saying Bowery as well. And also people asking, or it was Richard actually who asked, should we were to, if we were to beat Northampton, who would you like at Wembley? Swindon for me. Clive?
Port Vale, I think.
Alan?
I'd go Swindon. I think Swindon is slightly, not easier, but I just think we can play better against Swindon than we normally do against Port Vale.
Too many mentality factors against Port Vale for me. A lot of ex-Mansfield players, obviously Flitcroft as director of football, they've been through a real challenging season mentally with what's happened, the sad things which have happened off the pitch there for the manager and things like that. You know, I wish them all the best in the semi-final, but if I had to pick, it would be Swindon for me. I think it would be my preference. But I'm not even going to start talking about that. I'm ending that conversation there because we have to focus, not even on the second leg yet. We've got to focus on one game, one game at a time. Nigel Clough's mentality all the way through, Clive, has been take it one game at a time, and there's no reason that should change now.
No,
all managers say that, but in practice, they're thinking ahead as well. They'll only declare their hand about the game in front of them, and quite rightly so. But they will have what if scenarios running around their heads now. What if we don't take a lead from the first game? What if we've got a 3-goal advantage, etc., etc.? You know, and what if so and so gets sent off or somebody is injured? All those things you have to have a strategy for. Now, life's too complicated for mere mortals like us to carry that information around in our heads, but you can bet that they'll have plans in place depending on the outcome of the first game, and they won't think about them after the game. They'll already be thinking them through.
Yeah, I think penalties will be a key one. I'm sure they'll be practicing them. Well, Mansfield again. I'll get my regular stat out there. Mansfield haven't won a penalty shootout since 2013. Moving swiftly on, we mentioned Nigel Clough there. I think it's about high time that we heard from him. I went down to the RH Academy earlier this week to catch up with defender-turned-striker-turned-defender Ollie Hawkins. We'll hear from him in the next 10 minutes or so. But first, let's hear from the Stags manager, Nigel Clough.
Nigel, it's at this time of the season where most players are heading for the airport today. Your players have still got something to do. Before we look ahead to the playoffs, what do you make of the season over the last 46 games? What are your emotions as it comes to an end?
I think the phrase roller coaster comes to mind because it's certainly been that to start with so much optimism as we did and the results and the performances in the first few games of the season. And then to have that run of games where we couldn't get a win, couldn't buy a win to save our lives, and then to come back and reach the top seven. It's been a very, very interesting one, and I think quite a few supporters have said it's been one of the most exciting seasons they've ever seen, for good and bad reasons as well. We've been down and out, and then we've felt like we're on top of the world with some of the football that we've played, and especially at home at the One Call Stadium. So we've got to try and continue it now for the next three games, certainly the next two.
Yeah, given what you've just said there, regardless of what happens in the next three, does that give you tremendous heart on the journey that you've been on to get to where you are now?
I think so. I think we're a little bit ahead of where we thought we'd be. We wanted, you know, only 18 months, first full season, so I think the recruitment last summer and then again in January has just taken us a little bit further than we thought we'd be at this stage. You know, to get a team together to challenge for promotion is difficult. You know, you look at Exeter, haven't finished outside the top nine, what, for five, six seasons? Forest Green have been thereabouts for a similar sort of time. And Bristol Rovers just got relegated last year. So you can see the sort of time it needs to build promotion-challenging teams. but say we're probably a little bit ahead of where we thought we'd be.
Yeah, Northampton, one of those sides as well that came back down last year, looking to bounce back up. Let's look at those first and foremost in terms of getting them in the playoffs. Are you happy with that draw? Would you prefer to have maybe taken them on late, at a later stage?
Take anybody. I don't think there's anything between the teams at this stage. You know, you look at all the merits of the three teams that are in there with us. Say Northampton really should have been had automatic. And you've got Port Vale, have had a great run, beaten us this season. Swindon beaten us this season. Northampton have. So I think Port Vale are the only side we haven't beaten this season. So it's muchness of who you get at this stage. I think we really have to look at ourselves and say we have to be good enough now. You know, don't be looking at the opposition.
It's a different kind of fish now, isn't it, to the 46 which we've just played?
Yeah, completely. It is. That 46 is finished now. We're into these sort of little mini cup finals, and it is atmosphere. Everything changes, I think, when you get into the playoffs.
Is there some form of psychological advantage going into the first leg, considering how Northampton fell out on final day?
I don't know. We won't know that, I don't think, until after the two games. There'll be a large degree of disappointment and disbelief, probably, that they missed out. And I'm sure when they're sitting there 3-0 up, we had it at Burton a few years ago and we thought we were safe with 4 minutes to go. A team had scored two goals and they did. And that was the same sort of case for Northampton on Saturday. You know, for them to win away from home as they did, and then for the other team to score seven was a freakish couple of results, but they have to deal with it, and I think it might just give them a renewed determination not to let the season sort of end on that note.
What's your views on home and away advantage? Because for me as a supporter, it's, you've got to play them both, haven't you, so it doesn't matter when.
That's it. No, I don't think there's much. I think being at home, if you can get a lead, you know, I think you've seen that in the two League One games. You know, Wickham got a 2-0 lead and successfully defended it, and Sunderland got a 1-0 lead at home and they managed to get through as well. So from that point of view, if you can get a lead, however, if you don't get a lead, say you draw or even lose, then it's a massive favourites for the home team in the second leg.
And one factor for us is going to be the fans again. The away leg sold out yesterday. 4-hour queues for people to get tickets yesterday. It's great to see people to come out, isn't it, and, you know, back the club and hope for success at the end of it.
They've done all season, so and the numbers that we've taken on the road have been remarkable. And to have a full house at home on Saturday night and then a full away end on Wednesday night is brilliant, but it's what we've been used to and a little bit spoiled by.
How key is that experience that you've got within your squad, those players that have been through these scenarios before, to lift those younger players?
Just, I think the experience around training this week is going to be vital, that they just keep everybody calm and feet on the ground, and also they will also know that yes, we've achieved something by getting in the top seven, but really it hasn't achieved anything in terms of we want to try and get promoted. So the next three games, if it is three, will determine that.
That's Stags boss Nigel Clough speaking to me from Mansfield 103.2. You can watch that full interview with Nigel on I Follow Stags. Full interview on there with Ollie Hawkins as well. We'll hear a little bit more from Ollie in the next half an hour or so here on the Mansfield Matters podcast, the playoff preview show. Also on I Follow Stags, you can also watch this season's Club Awards, where Stephen McLaughlin pretty much swept the board with the hat-trick of awards. Reece Oates bagged one as well, as did James Perch. But the awards are not over. The Mansfield Matters Podcast Awards, let's face it, the best awards of all, because you don't get a trophy, you just get a tweet. Might get a graphic this year, you never know. I might spice things up. We'll wait and see. You can still vote for the Mansfield Matters Podcast Awards. We did the shortlist whittling down in the previous show. The link that you need is in the description. Keep your votes coming in as well, and have your say on a variety of categories. Player of the season, goal of the season, ground of the season, all of that sort of stuff. It's in the link in the description.
Craig, can I just say that my suggestion for the best lone player of the season being Naughty is probably a long shot.
Last time I looked, he was winning. But I also had a little look at the stats, and it said Clive Parkin had voted 473 times. So, trying to fix the vote, it's not going to happen. Don't worry. Don't worry. And also, as well, if you want to get yourself on the away trip to Northampton, of course, with the Stags Supporters Association, we'll give you all those details in just a second. once I've loaded them up right in front of me on my phone. Of course, if you want to get involved, you can get yourself a seat on the coach for the second leg. The coaches will be leaving at 4 p.m. from One Course Stadium. £15 for Amber members and junior members, £20 for Blue members, £25 for non-members, and SSA members must show membership cards on entry to the coaches to get those membership prices. And if you want to get yourself a seat on the coach due to high demand, the Supporters Association are asking that you text your booking request with your name and membership number for every person in your party that wishes to travel. So if I wanted to book for me, Clive and Alan, for example, I'd say Craig Priest, A123, Clive Parkin, A124, and Alan Wilson, A121, and send those in there. And you can send it to the all-important number, Alan Wilson, which is
07967-689-597.
And that number again is
07967-689-597.
Oh, he's got it wrong. All season.
Got your knickers in a twist.
All season.
You just got me there, Craig. 07967-689-597.
And please rolls remember, and please remember to text your booking. Please try and avoid calling if you can. I'm told there's been a lot of calls this week. The phone has been ringing nonstop off the hook. So to allow the SSA volunteers to best manage coach bookings, please text your booking. All the details you need on the SSA supporters pages. Right, let's delve back.
Before we move on, can I just quickly throw something in about the ticketing situation? It's been the worst possible time for this horrible ticketing software that we've got to collapse, and it has done this week. And lots of people who don't live locally have found it very difficult to get in. In fact, impossible to get in to buy a ticket, and the phone lines have been jammed, as you might imagine. A real frustration, but there's very little the ticket office staff can do about that. They've been working their socks off. And in fact, I think I've read today on Facebook that they're open between 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening tomorrow. They can do no more. I mean, they are working flat out. But it is very frustrating for those fans that just can't get their hands on tickets. And it could affect the gate, of course.
Yeah, it could. I mean, maybe the old ticketing system has read the news that we've changed into a new ticketing system has gone, right, well, we're going to mess it up for you. That's just a joke. I'm not making that as a suggestion at all, just tongue-in-cheek remark.
I think you're right.
But there you go. But yeah, massive shout out to all the ticket office staff this week. They've taken some dog's abuse from people on Facebook at times. Absolutely uncalled for. They're working their fingers to the bone. And, you know, we were in the queue for 4 hours on Monday. And yes, it's frustrating to stand there for 4 hours, especially if it was hammering it down like it was later on in the week when tickets went on general sale. But there is literally nothing else they can do. They're going as fast as they can. For every single ticket that's purchased, they have to, if I'm right in thinking, put the name, the season ticket card number manually into the computer, and it just takes time. You know, it's not just a case of scanning a barcode and it being there. It does take time to do it, and especially when you consider that some people were going down with, but you know, because of other people are at work with, you know, 10 season, different season tickets, it does take time. So don't take it out on the ticket office staff. Blame the system. And let's hope it doesn't have too much of an effect on the gate come Saturday night. But I believe, I'm sure, you know, like we say, they are open 8 to 8, and I'm sure the club will continue to put messages out about how you can get your tickets, et cetera, et cetera. Right, let's move on and talk all things football. Let's go back to something Nigel Clough said in there, Alan, about the experience within the squad. You know, Mansfield as a club haven't had a great record in the playoffs. 1994-95, we won't mention that one because of who we lost against. 2003-2004, mm-hmm. The only time we got to a final, beating Northampton over 2 legs, so there's a bit of an omen for you. 2011-2012 in the conference, lost to York, of course, over 2 legs. And then in 2018-2019, lost on penalties, of course, to Newport County. You do need players to step up, and you need the experienced players to step up and help you out. They've done so over the course of this season, the more experienced pros. But of course, Clive, there's quite a few in the dressing room that do have various playoff experiences.
We're a stronger playoff conditioned outfit this time round. And even if it goes to the dreaded penalties, I've got far more faith in our abilities to score penalties than in the past. So I don't think we should be worried about that. And I think ultimately, the only thing I can say, and I run the risk of boring myself, let alone everybody else, is that if we play our game, we'll beat anybody. And that's what we've got to go for.
Yeah, I'm just going through MTFC Musings on Stagsnet and Twitter has posted a very detailed look at who's got experience within the playoff squad. Just looking at the team that's likely to start the game, Stephen McLaughlin, of course, has won numerous Player of the Season awards this week. He won the League Two playoffs with Southend in 2015, scored in the semi-finals and started two of the three games. Elliot Hewitt, who we hope to have back in, lost in the League Two semi-finals with Notts County in 2018. Rawson's been involved with Forest Green. Perch was in the League One playoff semis with Forest in 2007. He also lost in the Championship semi-finals in 2010. And of course, had experience in the Europa League as well with Newcastle. John Joe O'Toole been involved with Watford in the semi-finals before in 2008. Ollie Clark, National League playoffs with Bristol Rovers. Stephen Quinn, Championship final in 2009 with Sheffield United. League One final with Sheffield United as well in 2012. Involved in an FA Cup semi-final with Hull City before as well. Who else is there in there as well? Murphy, Scottish FA Cup semi-final experience there as well. Also in the League One semi-finals with Sheffield United back in 2013. Ollie Hawkins mentioned it in the interview with me. National League semis with Dagenham and Redbridge in 2017. In the Johnson's Paint Trophy with Portsmouth in 2019. And League One semi-finals as well. Who else is there? Reece Oates, National League playoffs with Hartlepool, scoring three in the semis. Lucas Aikins, of course, EFL Cup semi-finals against Manchester City in 2019 with Burton. There's probably more in there as well. I think Kieran Wallace may have been in and around the Burton squad as well. Alan, but when you run through that side and when you run through the players that are likely to be involved, there is a lot of playoff experience, and I'm hoping that that bodes well and overrides the fact that Nigel Clough as a manager hasn't actually had success in the playoffs. But neither of the Stags, so it's time.
It's only my opinion, Craig, and I'm willing to be shot down for this, but I don't think it gives one iota who's played in a Premier playoff final, playoff semi-final before, because it's on the night. It's those first 90 minutes plus probably, and the second 90 minutes. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, when we took the penalty shootout against Newport, who missed our penalty? Who'd scored all the penalties all the way up through that season? Mr. Tyler Walker. And he was the one that missed. It's just on the night. And I think that makes the most sense, because it's just, if you start well, like we've said, first 15 minutes, and like Clive said, Mansfield play the way that we know that they can play, I don't think it'll matter about who's played there before or not.
But you have to admit, though, that players that have been through those experiences before, they can take something from that and put it into the game, surely.
Yeah, I admit that, but I just think it's on the night. I don't think it matters, whether they've played or not. That's my personal opinion. Like I say, if people shoot me down for it, that's fine, but it's just my opinion.
Clive, what's your views on it?
I don't think anybody would want to shoot Alan down.
No, me neither. No, I wasn't talking about that, though. I was talking more specifically about playoff experience.
I think all experience is valuable, and I think if you can confront situations which are not common in your game, and playoffs and semi-finals or whatever are not common, having had some experience of them, it can only do good.
Yeah,
that's as near as I'm going to get to shooting Alan down, I have to tell you.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. Well, we're going to talk team selection in the next 5 minutes, but first we're going to head back to the RH Academy, and we're going to hear a little bit from Stags striker, turn defender, turn striker, Ollie Hawkins. And I began by asking him specifically about a player's mindset, talking about how Northampton fell out on the final day and whether that would affect their mentality or not going into two huge games at the back end of the campaign.
I think they might, and coming to us especially for the first leg, and if we can get the crowd and we start like we do normally in the first 10 minutes, it won't be pretty sight for them, I think. We just got to, like I say, keep ourselves calm and relaxed and give ourselves no pressure and just play like we do all season at home, and then hopefully like we can get one on.
People talk about the home advantage being the second leg, but looking at it this time around from Mansfield's perspective, 13 wins in the last 15 games at home, second best home form in the league. Playing at home is perhaps the in the first leg is perhaps the springboard that you guys would want.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, some teams have better away forms, I suppose, and home form sometimes, and vice versa. And for us, I think being at home first is an advantage, I think, and I reckon they'll know that as well. And if we can get a good result, I don't see us going to their place and losing 3 or 4 nil, say, or 2-3 nil. I can see us not conceding many and like going through the tie. Yeah.
And of course, you've been involved in playoff campaigns previously. When it comes to these games, it's a different ball game entirely, isn't it? Are the preparations different as well off the pitch?
Mentally, maybe. Like physically and training, it should always stay the same. Like I said previously, you just got to get your mental state right and not feel the pressure. And when you go into these games, just got to play with a smile on your face and just play like you have all season. And then if it's meant to be and you do well and you battle and you work hard, and the result will come.
How important is it at this stage of the season when it's getting quite tense, when you know there's a lot to play for, to have a management team around you that allow you to have that extra time with the family just to get your minds as completely clear and focused on the task at hand?
Yes, yeah, it's brilliant for myself, especially with a newborn as well, and previously in my career where managers haven't been so lenient and you're in every day, you're working hard and you're getting home a bit late. It's not, I think, the way the manager and his staff like do allow us to have this time off is really good. And like I said before, it's with the mental side of it, it helps you relax a bit knowing that you're seeing family and you're not putting all the pressure on just thinking about the game. You've got your family to think about, and then coming into training relaxed, training hard, getting ready for the game, and then once the game comes on that day, that's when you switch on and you turn it on.
How important have the fans been in this run that you've had? Because it's the first season back sort of post-pandemic where fans have been allowed back in. I remember that first moment and the first home game, that feeling, that roar again. It felt like a long, long time coming. How important have they been? Because crowds have just gone up and up and up.
Yeah, it's all season it's been brilliant. And even when we're losing some games, you can still hear them. And I think it's very important. It gets us up, especially the first half of games when we're on top and we're trying to attack and attack. The fans are brilliant. And then away from home as well, like Scunthorpe away, loads of games away. I just named Scunthorpe just because we won and people jumping on the pitch. But it gives you that added advantage and that added oomph to sort of try hard and get a win for them.
In terms of the opposition that you're going to face in the next two games, what have you made of Northampton? Do you know many of the lads there? Have you been in touch with any of them?
I don't really know any of them personally or phone number wise like that. I just know that they're organised, they're big and strong from set pieces, and we've dealt with them before at home, like I said, previous, and we just got to go into the game as ourselves and nothing will change.
And of course, you know, with those two games coming up, what's going to be the key to getting through to a Wembley final and having a chance at League One?
Just winning for a start, and then just battling, working hard, and just everything that you need in a football pitch, a football match, I suppose, combined with a relaxed mindset, and I think the rest will go. I can't even say the word. I'll finish on that one. I'm trying to think of a word, but I can't think of it right now.
And the final hypothetical situation for you: you've played up front, you've played at centre half. 90th minute winner in the second leg, or two clean sheets?
Two clean sheets, 100%.
That's the defender's answer for sure.
Yeah. Wait, the winner in the first leg or the second
leg?
Oh, that's a bit tough now, actually. I thought you just meant the winner in one game. But the winner, oh yeah, the winner goes through. I'll take the winner actually, yeah. I'll take that back, I apologise. I thought you meant just score a goal or two clean sheets, but yeah, if they're both going through, I'll take the winner of the goal, yeah. That'll never leave me, that one.
From putting him on the back foot to questions about biscuits to hypothetical situations, I'll be honest, I think he backtracked a little bit when I said that's a defender's answer and he wasn't quite ready to give up the striker's mantle. Clive, I'm going to come to you because I know we've got to lose you in the next 5 minutes or so before we wrap things up. Ollie Hawkins mentioned in his interview there about just, you know, letting the rest take care of itself and just playing like we have, especially at home. That's going to be critical for us, isn't it, on Saturday? Not getting drawn into this whole thing about, you know, it's a journalist's job to try and talk up the things about Northampton falling out on the final day, the keeper being suspended, the great home form, etc., etc. What matters is continuing to play like you have, because that ultimately is what's got you there.
Yeah, without over-repeating everything, if we play well, we win. And that's really all we can rely on. You can't rely on what the other team are doing or what the officials are going to do or what the other match is all about. All we can do is our 11 on the pitch at any one time doing everything that we know they can do. And I don't actually think it matters whether it's this 11 in our squad or the next 11 in our squad. They've all been blooded this season.
Yeah, they certainly have. Alan, quickly, your views are on that before I go to Clive for his starting lineup pick for Saturday.
I can't disagree with anything that's been said. To be fair, you know, if Mansell play the way that we know they can play, I don't think we'll have any problems. And you know, if they go one up or whatever, we'll deal with it.
Yeah, right. Let's before we have to lose Clive, let's talk team selections. Clive, we've been very vocal over the last couple of weeks, almost ironically, about Ollie Hawkins being at centre-half. Nothing against him being there at all. I think he did a superb job for us when he had to step in when we needed him to. But the previous two games, the final two games of the season, the two games where we won and sort of reignited our season, kept two clean sheets as well. It was with a back four of Elliot Hewitt at right back, Jonjo O'Toole and James Perch at centre half, and player of the season, Stephen McLaughlin at left back. If you were Nigel Clough, would you be going back to that back four?
Yes, absolutely. My starting 11 would be Bishop, Hewitt, O'Toole, Perchmacher, Marius, Longstaff, Quinn, Murphy, Bowery, Oakes.
Alan, what about you? What would you be going with? I think Clive's right. I think we've got to start in a way which allows us to be on the front foot and attack, but it's also got to be fluid enough to drop in and block the midfield off. What would you be going for?
I would change just one person from that 11, and I would take Murphy out and put Lapsley in.
Interesting. I think he'll probably go with Murphy there.
Yeah, I think he will.
For me, it would be Bishop in goal, obviously. The back four that we've just mentioned of Hewitt, Perch, O'Toole and McLaughlin. Definitely I'd have Longstaff in there. I'd have Quinn in there. And to be honest, I'm going to throw one left field out there. I would start with Kieran Wallace. I'd start with Wallace sat in front of that back four. Alan's pulled a face, but I'll tell you for why, Alan.
I presume you're going to get rid of Maris.
Yep. That's nothing against Maris. I mean, you might think that it is from me because I did set it tongue-in-cheek basically just to get some content the other week. But I think when Wallace has come on over the last four games and slotted into that position, I've sat there and think, why is he not started? Because he's got a calmness there. He brings the ball down. He bops it off. Quick movement. He really gets us moving. He's strong in the air. He's physical. And I think he's been a linchpin in that midfield. And I think we're going to need that with a front three of Bowery, Oates and Murphy, by the way. But for me, I'd be starting with Wallace. I know everyone probably disagrees, but there you go. I'm going to start with Wallace. I think he'll play a big part.
If that was the case, it wouldn't upset me a great deal. I think Wallace has got some real skills, and I think we've yet to see the best of Wallace.
Yeah. I think there's a time and a place for Wallace as well as Aikins, but the time isn't on Saturday.
He's not half the player without his partner Gromit, is he?
it's a little bit like McLaughlin and Quinn. I had to have a little wry smile to myself and say when I watch the awards, don't give too much away, but Nigel Clough hands the the players player of the season over, I think it is. Or one of the awards anyway. I can't remember which one it is. McLaughlin wins it. McLaughlin wins it, and he says, I think Stephen Quinn should come up and get this award, or at least half of it, because this Stephen doesn't play very well without that other Stephen. It was a little sly, funny digging in the way which Nigel Clough does. Thomas says, thinks Hawkins should start. His dominance in the air is a major strength, especially with the way Northampton play. Would start O'Toole and Hawkins. And Will says, play a footballer like Law to actually put Oates through. I actually slightly agree with that, Will. I mean, I think Law is a very good footballer. I know he's highly thought of by the Stags staff. And I think he'll be very much a player in which, if he was on the bench, he could come on and create. I think he will just miss out of the 18, though, which is unfortunate. Clive, I'm going to let you go because I know you need to get gone. Before I do, though, final thing from you. What are your... No. We're not doing predictions. That is done. Done. That game's over. That's done. The season's done.
Have we already done it?
Yeah. We've not done it. I'm just not doing it.
I've worked my socks off to do a prediction.
Well, if you want to say it, but what I was going to ask.
No, I don't want to break any rules.
There's no rules. I just couldn't be asked.
Just
really.
Finished.
Yeah.
3-1. Longstaff, Oates and Macca.
You get no points for it. How are you going to keep yourself entertained during Saturday? Because for me, 7:45 kickoff just makes things even nervier during the day. What are you going to do to occupy yourself?
I'm going to go and swing a golf club somewhere.
Well, I hope you do well. And as long as there's a windmill involved, I can back it. Clive, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again on Monday for the second leg preview. Alan, going to stick around for another 5 minutes or so, and then we'll wrap things up. So I want to talk a little bit more about team selection and things like that and making things count and playoffs previous. I know we spoke a little bit sort of in the week. You'll be able to hear that on Sport on Friday on Mansfield 103.2 tomorrow night in that little show. But I want to talk a little bit more about playoffs previous because I know, you know, you've seen a lot of them. It surprised me, actually, looking at it, that we've only actually ever been involved in four previous playoff campaigns. Yeah. I was expecting a lot more than that, to be honest. Yeah.
And I've seen them all. Yeah, I was at Salty 8 that dreadful evening when I think it was 1-1 we drew at our place, and we ended up losing 4-2 on the night, and 4-1 on the night, and it was ended up 5-2 or 5-3, something like that. I know we lost quite heavily anyway.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was 1-1 on the night and then 5-2 on the night in the second leg, but I know I think it was 5-2 actually on the night of the away leg. Yeah, but it was a very, very, it's one of those, isn't it? First ever time in the playoffs, that's the one thing you don't want to do, and that's play your local rivals, because it can go any which way, can't it? It's really, really
difficult. Yes, it was a poor memory from that one. I'm going to say we've had some good memories, you know, the Colin Larkin. It was a poor memory when Greeny got sent off against York, but it was a good memory when CJ scored against Newport.
Yeah, it certainly was. There's a lot of memories, good memories in the playoffs, and I don't think home advantage or anything comes into it. I'm just looking at the way we were in those particular seasons. So 94-95, we finished in sixth, which is equivalent to seventh now, because back in those days, only two went up automatic. 18 wins, 11 draws, 13 defeats, a goal difference of plus 25, 65 points. 2003-2004, of course, when we last played Northampton in the playoffs, we finished in fifth. Northampton finished in sixth. If I'm right in thinking as well, we had three consecutive games against Northampton because we played them on the final game of the season, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. I think I can remember that because I enjoyed going to Sixfields for the first encounter with Reece Day. I think it was Reece Day and Disley, Craig Disley, who scored the goals. And we were really looking forward to, you know, upbeat about 2-0 away. And it just shows you, like you said earlier on, you know, you've got to take something with you, you know, just to battle, because they will come out all guns blazing definitely a week next Wednesday.
Absolutely. That season, 122 drawn, just 9 lost, 15, plus 14 goal difference, 75 points in that one. Like you say, Reece Day and Junior Mendes both scoring in the away leg, and then
Junior Mendes. I thought it was Disley.
No, I thought it was Junior Mendes got the goal. He got the tap in.
I think you could be right then. I might be wrong.
I might be wrong. You might be right. I might be wrong. My research may have served me wrong. I don't know. But I know Reece Day definitely scored because I actually had the pleasure
of... Yeah, we'll agree on that one.
Yeah, we did. Well, we can definitely agree on that one. I actually had the pleasure of catching up with Reece earlier this week in a mini Stag Stories, a new thing to the Mans for Matters podcast we're doing called Stag Story Snippets, smaller interviews themed around certain things. If you want to listen to that, it's on our YouTube now. It's also in your podcast feeds as well, completely for free. Told some great stories and remembers that very, very well indeed. Penalties it went to on the night after Tom Curtis levelled it on aggregate late on in the home game, a very nervy one. Wayne Cordham, Liam Lawrence, Neil McKenzie, Laurent DiGiaffo, and then Colin Larkin scoring the penalties in that one. Then in the conference days, 2011-2012, Paul Cox's first season as manager, we finished third in that season, which I think would be equivalent to, what, fifth? Because obviously, of course, one team goes up from the conference. Anyway, played York over two legs. 25 wins, 14 draws and only 7 defeats that season. Plus 39 goal difference with 89 points. So a very, very good season that year. It just shows, doesn't it, that, you know, in the conference, really, you know, there should be more than one team going up automatic. Because if you're getting 89 points and not getting promoted, there's something wrong, isn't there?
To, wouldn't you?
Yeah, there is. And of course, that one, first leg, Ross Dyer scores at York from an extra Skehegan throw. And then we lose 1-0 in the second leg because we were without Matt Green. Similar sort of season. We were very much a one-man team then in terms of goals scored. And we are again this season because without Reece Oates, it's fair to say we've not been good enough in front of goal.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I'd agree with that because Green, it was on fire, weren't he, in two seasons? Did it was something like 27 and 25 or the other way around. I know he found the net, back of the net, you know, on numerous occasions. And we've really missed that, Craig. It's a good job the midfielders have, you know, dibbed in and like Mac has dibbed in. And we've got the extras where we needed them.
And then, of course, the last time we were in the League Two playoffs, only three seasons or so ago, David Flitcroft as manager, 76 points we finished on that season, 20 wins, 16 draws and just 10 defeats, a plus 28 goal difference. Obviously, Tyler Walker getting the majority of those goals for us. Newport away in the first leg, CJ Hamilton scores after a pretty poor end to the campaign for us. Then, of course, a boring 0-0 draw in the second leg, and then we lose on penalties. Nicky Jose, CJ Hamilton and Mel Benning scoring. Of course, Tyler Walker's was saved, and Newport scored all of those. And, of course, if you were looking for a bit of an omen, Danny Rose was in the Stags team. Then, of course, he'll be in the Northampton team on Saturday. This season, by comparison, over the 46 games, 22 wins, 11 draws, 13 defeats, a plus 15 goal difference and 77 points. So we beat Flitcroft's total by 1 point. And I think what that shows is when we were under Paul Cox in the conference, we were a difficult side to beat because of 14 draws and just 7 defeats. But under Nigel Clough, we don't play for draws. We go for it. And I think that really bodes well. You look at form coming into it. Last time we were in the playoffs in 18-19, we were in poor form because we slipped out in the manner and we did. We had so many chances to try and get over the line and we weren't good enough. This year, I think, you know, you look at the back end of the season, 4 games unbeaten, 2 wins and 2 draws. Probably should have beaten Salford, but we had to play for the draw. We've said that. And then Forest Green, you know, that was always going to end in a stalemate because they needed at least a point. I think we can be very, very proud of the way we've finished quite strongly. But Northampton have finished as equally strongly. It really is difficult to call, isn't it?
Even though I've also thought of something else, Craig, as well. You know, in the Flitcroft era, when we didn't go up, when we lost in the playoff final, wasn't that the season where they were just sorting the ground out at RH Academy and they couldn't play on the grass? Because he went to St. George's Park. He went here, there and everywhere, didn't they? They were like going everywhere else for another, you know, for like week in, week out. Whereas different this year, Nigel's got them on the same patch all the time. He's told us about the training, and I'm just wondering if that'll make a little bit of a difference.
Do you know what?
It was going to different places, you know, being at the academy.
Yeah, that's something which I'd not thought about at all, because you're absolutely right, because that was another big reason why Flitcroft was dismissed at the end of that campaign, because we spent a lot of money towards the back end of that season. You know, the RH, if we're being completely honest, is a phenomenal facility.
It's
still got room for improvement, but it's a very, very good training centre for a League Two club. But back then, it wasn't ready. The pitches weren't ready to train on.
Right.
It was only the 3G pitch there, really, that was good enough to train on. And training on 3G is not the greatest, especially modern 3G pitches. And that's why we got a few of the injuries as well. But like you say, towards the back end of the campaign, because David Flitcroft wanted to, you know, train on good facilities and try and get the best from his players, we trained at St George's. I think we trained at Sheffield United a couple of times. We trained all over the place. And like you say, not being settled is a big thing. But the players now in this current season are settled. They've got a good facility. And when I went down to RH on Tuesday, Alan, I can honestly say there were no nervous energy in the air.
It was a genuinely nice
feeling. I wouldn't have imagined that would have been the same 3 or 4 years ago when we were last in the playoffs.
It's like Ollie Hawkins said, that, you know, all credit to Nigel. He lets them have time with the family. They know they've done the training. They know exactly what they can do. He knows how much to give them. Extra training for the players that haven't been, you know, either in the starting 11 or maybe in the squad or haven't come on, whatever, you know, your Ollie Clarks and so on, because they might play a very crucial part in these next two games.
Yeah, and I think mindset's a huge thing as well. You know, like we say before, I wasn't around in 94, 95, so I can't talk about the mindset then. Similarly, in 03, 04, although I remember watching that campaign and seeing how it worked out. But if memory serves me correct, we knew we were in the playoffs probably before the last two games of the season. I think we went to Huddersfield, I think two or three games before the end and sealed our playoff place there. And I don't think automatics were within reach then, were they really?
I'm not sure. I'm going to say, I can remember going to Huddersfield and I can remember winning 3-1. I don't know whether that's the same match. Because
Mendes
scored twice that game, didn't he? I can remember being there. Was it the McAlpine Stadium then?
Yeah, as it was. Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, that mindset, we were prepared for it going into it. And Northampton were as well. It was very similar. It was almost like a warm-up friendly game, the final game of the season, which I believe we lost as well. And then obviously in the conference days, you talk about mindset. Like we said earlier, to get 89 points and to not go up automatically is madness. So that affects your mindset. And then we lost out on the final game of the season by giving a stupid goal away at MK Dons, where all we needed was a draw. So that affects your mindset as well. I think this year, considering where we've come from, I had it up earlier. I'm going to see if I can find it now. There's a progress chart. We were, after 14 games of the season, we were second from bottom. We were in 23rd. So to go from 23rd right up to the highs of third after 32 games, and then to be pretty much in the top 10 from that point onwards, finishing eventually in seventh, is a phenomenal achievement. Really, really is a good achievement to have. And I think that actually bodes well for our mindset going into this. We know how poor we've been. We know where we've come from. And it stands us in good stead for giving it a real go. And do you know what? If it doesn't happen, we didn't really say this earlier. I think we'll probably talk more about this on Monday, to be fair. But if it doesn't happen, I think we've all got this sense of, well, next season will be a continuation of that. Like Nigel Clough said earlier, he thinks we're ahead of where we thought we'd be. And I think he's right.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I think the fans will take it on the chin as well, because it's like Mac has said, it's like Ollie Hawkins, like Quinny, like Nigel himself, even Andy Garner said it when you spoke to him. You know, it's the fans that understand that when they put 100, the players will put 110% in every game, win, lose or draw. Mansfield fans will stay to the end and experience, you know, the clapping, the applause, and, you know, they'll be very pleased with what they've seen because of the effort that they've put in. It's when you don't put the effort in, you know, similar to Northampton away. We didn't think the effort, or there was no cohesion, was there? We were there, and it was just, well, it was terrible. The sun was in his eyes as well.
We moved seats four times, didn't we, that day, I think?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to sit in the side stand on Wednesday, so I should finish where I was last time.
Have you got a ticket? Did you manage to get a ticket in the end?
Yeah.
I'd feel really, really bad if you didn't answer that question with a no, because I did offer to use my season ticket to get you on Monday when I was queuing. Yeah. So I'm glad you've got yourself.
Yes, I managed to get one, yes. And I'm in the side stand.
That's very good news. I'm just scrolling back actually to that Northampton game, the game at Sixfields, and I'm going to look at the starting lineup that we had that game just to see how far we've come from there.
Some names in there.
Bishop played as he's been ever present for us this season. James Clark was at right back. Hewitt and Rawson were the two centre halves. McLaughlin was left back. Charles Lee, Lapsley, and Ollie Clark made up the midfield, and it was a front line of Bowery, Hawkins, and Johnson. So there was no Oates starting there. He was actually feeling under the weather before the game and not well enough to start. He came on for the last 15 minutes. And the other two subs that we used were Keaton Ward and Ryan Burke, both of which incidentally released earlier this week.
Too many changes, though, Craig, is there? To be fair.
No, I mean... I think, and then the other subs that were unused were Shelby, Forrester, Law and Gale. So it was a very young side with the injuries and things like that. But if you look at it, no Stephen Quinn in midfield.
Yeah.
Obviously, this predates John Joe O'Toole being in there anyway. Hewitt's a better right back than he is centre-half. I think we've said that. And Faz, we've all got our own opinions on Faz. And sometimes it's a partnership thing. And at that time, it wasn't quite going well. Midfield-wise, it's completely different to where it is. Obviously, Charles Lee's not with us anymore. He's now doing well at Port Vale. Lapsley's in there. And then, obviously, Ollie Clark's not played because of his injury. It's a very, very different side. I think it's a very different... like you said, there's a few names in there that are still very much in our lineup, but we play a different way and we have a different mentality about us now.
Yeah. Well, it's a different... To coin a phrase, it's a different team as in players that's available. Your Quinns, because he makes such a difference with Maka down the side. Hewitt slotted in at right back now, where I think he's more comfortable. And going back to Rawson, with the two games where was it Hawkins that was suspended and Rawson came in, and for one of those, he was the man of the match. Didn't we have two clean sheets as well? And so he can feel a little bit hard done to. Like Barry, because he was on a good run, then he ended up on the bench. And I think Rawson, to a certain extent, is the same, because he's had some really good quality games for Mansfield. He's just, dropped out a little bit just lately.
Yeah, I think I just think that with the experience we've got of Perch and O'Toole in there, I think we've got better options in there. Roy says, I wonder if Johnson could be the hero in these playoffs. He's been in and around it, hasn't it? It'd be interesting because... I think he missed out of the 18, didn't he? On Saturday. And to be honest, with the 18 we put out last Saturday, I don't think it'll be too dissimilar to that.
Possibly
18. I think it might be a slightly changed starting lineup. I think I personally feel that we will go back to that back four with Hewitt at right back.
I hope so.
But let's go through what that 18 was. Obviously, Bishop, Perch, O'Toole, Hawkins, McLaughlin, Maris, Barry, Longstaff, Quinn, Murphy and Oates, Wallace, Hewitt, Akins, and then obviously not used were Clark, Sturck, Lapsley and Steck. The only one I can really see, missing out in there is potentially Ollie Clark. But I think Nigel Clough will want to have him... in the round, he's put him back on the bench. He's not giving him minutes because he's not, he's not had the chance. But I think
he's a tenacious tatter, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's what Mansfield missed at time.
Cliffy likes that.
Yeah, I think if Johnson was given an opportunity, like somebody said about Jason Law earlier on, I think he could probably give a spot. But hand on heart, I don't think there'll be much change in that 18.
No. If, in my opinion, it's only my opinion, as we've said before, if he keeps Perch and plays him alongside O'Toole, fine. If he doesn't want Perch in there, I would sooner see Hawkins there and Perch on the bench. I don't want him to replace Hewitt at right back, because I just don't think it's his best position. If they swap, if Perch... plays at centre-back and Hewitt at right-back, whether it's Perch or whether it's Hawkins. I think Perch's quality there with O'Toole he's so calm and collected. You know,
honestly, best centre half partnership I've seen at the Stags in recent years in those two games. Country Mile, Perchin O'Toole, and like you say,
if Hawkins was on the bench, you know, 20 minutes to go, depending on the score, if we need a
goal, option up the other end.
Get him on.
Get him on, and then obviously once you've got the goal, you bring him back and you shut up shop. It writes itself, doesn't it? It writes itself.
Yeah.
I'm well aware that we've been baffling on for an hour and 15 minutes now. I know that Alan Wilson's a very, very busy man. So I'm going to let you go. I'm going to bring things to an end. Really appreciate your company tonight. We will be back on Monday to look ahead to the second leg. Obviously, you know, the routines and everything are completely out of the window on Saturday with it being a 7:45 kickoff. Clive's going to go and swing a golf club around. What are you going to do during the day, Alan, to try and, you know, ease the nervous tension? Because as much as we say they won't be, when Saturday comes, those nerves are going to be right up there.
Well, I've got my granddaughter stopping Friday night, stroke Saturday morning. I should be taking her to a gymnastics class in the morning. Probably going and having a wander around Sutton, waiting, for, you know, 3/4 hour, have a coffee somewhere, you know, check stuff out, and then just gently chill. Shower, shaved, get ready, and look forward to the game.
I'm glad you didn't say the other S in there, but let's hope that the full-time whistle...
Family show, Craig.
Family show, absolutely. Let's just hope then, Alan, that at the full-time whistle, you can take some tips from those gymnastics classes and that we are doing cartwheels. As ever, thanks for your company tonight. The stage then is nearly set for all the drama to unfold on Saturday night. I cannot wait for it. Really, really looking forward to it. Whatever happens, I think we can be very, very proud of what we've already achieved this season. Record points haul, record smashed at home, second best home record in the division. If it doesn't quite happen this time round, there's definitely an underlying feeling of sheer hope and willingness for us to go on and do it next year. We're not even going to think about that though yet. Let's channel everything positive into what we've got. Wankhorst Stadium Saturday night. If you've not got a ticket, make sure you get yourself tuned in to Mansfield 103.2. All throughout the day, there's going to be a build-up right from in the morning all the way through the afternoon to when we get started at 6 p.m. Aaron Outram will be in the hot seat and joining me at Wankhorst Stadium for full match commentary. Every kick of the action will be Cam Felton. Yes, he's back for a second game running. He didn't do too badly last time round. He's stepping into the breach again for us to bring you that unrivalled passion as the Stags aim to try and take something good and something positive into that second leg at Sixfield Stadium on Wednesday night. Don't forget, we'll have all the reaction and all the build-up to the second leg on Monday night. We'll let you know a time on our social media pages in between. All the reaction on there. And if you want to hear me and a couple of Northampton fans talk, remember you can check out It's All Cobblers to Me on Twitter. I'm on their preview show this week, and I'm also going to be on their preview show ahead of the second leg as well. Bringing two great podcasts together for one common cause, football, believing in a dream. Let's just hope that for the Stags, it's a repeat of 2003-2004. Don't forget, you can still vote for the end of season Mansfield Matters podcast awards. Voting will end once the season does come to its conclusion. Thanks as always for listening. Thanks as always for getting involved. We'll see you next time, where hopefully the Stags are taking something positive into that second leg at Northampton. All that's left to say is, come on, you Staggies!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.